Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to the Bitter Comics Podcast. I'm going to introduce your host, the man with the plan, Mr. J.T. Foreman.
Hello, and welcome to episode 57 of Bitter Comics. I am J.T. Foreman, and I am here with my good friend, Jeff Corn on the Macabre.
Yep.
I bet you've never heard that one before.
Never. Very
never,
clever.
Never. Very yes, clever. Very cool. Thank you. Thank you for playing along. I appreciate it. Well, we begin once again with our opening segment. JT was a real prick last week, in which I apologize for the cruel, offensive, and probably racist things I said last episode. So, for my insensitivity in episode 56, I would like to apologize to black people, scavenger hunts, coffee-drinking bikers, meth, Philip Medina, and basically every comedian in the Central California area, Mexican she-males, Dan Savage, and lawnmowers.
Very nice.
If you'd like to know why I'm apologizing to these specific things, check out episode 56 and all our previous episodes at bittercomics.podbean.com. If you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, just go to that website and scroll down a little bit. On the right-hand side of the page, there are buttons you can click on to subscribe using iTunes, Google, or your My Yahoo account. And if you feel I owe any additional apologies, send us an email to bittercomics@hotmail.com, and then the subject line, please put, "Don't have Stephen Mintz on again, he's just going to get you in trouble." How's it going, Jeff?
It's going.
Are you familiar with Stephen Mintz?
I am not.
You're not? He is another comedian here in town. He doesn't go to the open mics anywhere near as regularly as I do or as you do, so you haven't really been doing comedy that long here, right?
Not.
So I'm not surprised you haven't bumped into him. He's a great guy, nice guy, and he will get you in trouble.
Well, how does he get people in trouble, exactly?
Well, on the last episode, he kept goading me into making fun of minorities, basically.
Oh.
He kept goading me into it, and, you know, I try to not follow that path, and then it's just, you know, somehow the lawnmower joke just comes out.
Right.
You know, I don't know exactly how he does it.
How is he goading you into it?
I don't.
He's like, yeah, and I make fun of black people. Yeah, yeah. Now Mexicans.
Kind of. But yeah, pretty much. Yeah, not quite as literally as right. that, but yeah, it's kind of like that. So yeah, I probably shouldn't have Stephen Mintz on again. I will have Stephen Mintz on again.
But I
know I shouldn't.
Right.
I need help. It's an addiction.
Don't we all?
It's an addiction.
You're addicted to Stephen Mintz.
I'm addicted to Stephen Mintz. That's right.
If I ever meet him, I'm going to be like, "You're that guy that JT's addicted to."
Yes. Yeah, I'm addicted to Stephen Mintz.
Cute.
He's another 40-year-old chubby white dude with glasses. So it's.
That sounds pretty hot.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm pretty sure I actually have
him. Like myself, actually. So. Mm-hmm. Thanks for coming on the show.
No
Jeff Macabre is a stand-up comedian. How long you been doing comedy now?
Damn, not long. About
4 or 5 months.
Something like that. Yeah.
But you are also a rock musician, and you've been doing that quite a bit longer.
Yeah, a little bit longer. About two years.
2 years?
Yeah.
What instrument do you play?
I'm a drummer.
A drummer.
Yes, sir.
See, I've always thought if I were going to want to, I'd love to learn an instrument. I wouldn't want to do drums just because there's all that crap to carry around.
Yes, I chose the wrong instrument. It's awful.
I wouldn't, and everyone wants to be the lead guitar.
Right.
So I think I would learn bass guitar.
Mm.
Because I just imagine if I could play with any reasonable amount of skill, I would have so much easier time getting into a band and getting work. Just because it's kind of vital for a rock band. But it's not the flashy one, like the lead guitar.
Right.
It's not the one that gets all the blowjobs, like the singer. And it's not the one that that has to carry a bunch of crap around, like
right.
the drummer.
Yeah.
And, you know, drummers are known as having large penises. So, congratulations
on
your large penis.
Yeah, they also say that about tall people and people with big feet. I fall into all of those categories.
You're like 6'6 or something?
Yeah, I'm 6'6, yeah.
6'6, so yeah.
I fall into all those categories, yet I can fairly say, sadly enough, that they are just rumors.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, we all are.
Actually, what would be the appropriate response for me? I'm glad there's less competition in the world. I don't know.
Oh, there you go.
No, it's, hey, good. One person with a penis that's not too much bigger than mine. Hooray.
Is this podcast just going to turn into us comparing dicks?
No. That was excited. That was last week with Stefan Mintz, actually. If I'd have known that you were into that, I would have called you and had you come out, too.
I would love to compare dicks with Stefan Mintz.
wouldn't we all?
Yeah,
I think everyone wants to compare dicks with Stefan Mintz. Jen Felix wants to compare dicks to Stefan
Mintz.
I mean, and she probably has a bigger one than him.
Jen does have a big old penis.
She does have a giant penis.
Jen Felix is another comedian who's also my roommate.
Yes. Oh, really?
I live with Jen.
Yeah, she was on the podcast 2 weeks ago. Yeah. She and Danny Minch came by.
They can't go do things individually now. They have to do everything together.
I just invited her to be on the show, and I guess she needed a ride, so he drove her here. But actually, I've been trying to remember what it was I wanted to talk about on the podcast today. That reminded me of it. Now, okay, I want you to tell me if I did the wrong thing here or not. If I stepped over out of bounds.
So far, my assumption is yes, you did the wrong thing.
You're probably right.
But go on.
But here's the situation. Last night, Flip Schultz and Allison Weber were performing at O'Sullivan's over here across the street from where I live. Danny Minch was hosting the show and invited me to come out and see the show. And I didn't get there in time to perform, but okay, great show. Allison Weber, Flip Schultz, I met them once before when they were in town. Great comedians, both great people. And I was talking to Allison after the show was over, and I asked her if she and Flip would like to be on the podcast today. And she said, well, I don't know if we'll have time. Let me ask Flip. They're married.
Okay.
By the way. Okay, so she mentions it to him. And he got this look on his face like, why are you trying to get my wife to come over to your place or something? Now, there's a couple of ways to look at this. One is, she's another comedian. She's really funny. And I think she would be a great guest on the show. So I asked her if she wanted to do it. That's how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's how I think he might be seeing it. That's my girlfriend, or that's my wife.
Yeah.
Would that be seen as I'm coming on to her or something? Because, that's one thing is I never... The most important thing I feel that we learned growing up is how to associate, in a social environment with other people. And that's something that I don't feel that I really learned all that well. Okay. So the behavior rules around a guy and his girlfriend or wife, I've been accused of flirting with other people's girlfriend when I thought I was just having a conversation.
Right.
And so it just the look on his face, and maybe I'm misinterpreting things, makes me think maybe I stepped over or stepped out of bounds a little bit.
Well, to be honest, I can totally understand his skepticism on the situation, considering that generally guys are jealous, you know what I'm saying? I'm kind of like that. I would be like, what the hell? Why is he asking her to come over? But at the same time, you know your intentions. I know your intentions.
Yeah.
So it's not like you were stepping over any bound. If he's going to get jealous, then he's going to get jealous. But it doesn't mean you were doing anything wrong. I mean, you have every right. You asked Jen. I don't think Danny Minch got all super pissed and thought you were trying to have sex with Jen because you asked her to come on the
podcast. Well, I was trying to get Jen.
But then Danny Minch showed up and fucked everything up.
Well, we just had a three-way.
All right. Did you invite Stefan?
And Jen was the meat. No. I'm kidding. No.
You, Stefan, and Danny comparing dicks?
That's what we always do. Right. Long before Jen came along, we were comparing penises. The basic question I think is it appropriate to be sexist sometimes? Now here's my point. If I were to go in and I want her to be a guest on my podcast. Now, I wanted both of them to come.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just say, for instance, I'm doing a podcast that's just about music, and she's a musical comedian. So I just want to have her on the podcast. Do I need to ask him because she's her husband, and now am I being sexist?
No, that's not sexist. No, you don't need to ask him.
I guess it would depend on how well we know each other, because if I'm just like some random person...
Right, Danny Minch.
But if we're friends and we know we kind of know each other, then I would wanna talk to him first.
Right.
But if if it's I don't know either of them, I'm just trying to book a guest on my podcast, then it would be okay to just talk to her about it.
I think so. Yeah. Especially, you know, given that situation, you know, Danny knows you.
Yeah.
And I know Danny would never presume for a second that you were.
Well, you know, if I were to just automatically go, okay, well, there's this girl, so I'm going to ask her husband about anything having to do with her. Well, that's sexist. No, she's an adult.
That's true. That's
She's a human being. You can have a conversation with her. But there's also that jealousy thing that you were talking mm-hmm. about. And so I do think that in a social environment, within society, there are times when it is appropriate to be sexist.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when it's involving someone else's relationship, if someone else has a relationship with the person and you don't want the situation to be interpreted in a certain way, maybe despite the fact that it is condescending to her to talk to her husband, if it's okay for her to be on the show, it might also be. So the question, I guess, is there no right answer at this point?
Well,
or is there no wrong answer at this point? Or
I don't
both?
Know. I think that the right answer is that you shouldn't have to go through the husband or the boyfriend. I mean, in any given scenario, because I mean, a lot of people might even interpret that as being shady. I have before. I've had a friend that was like, "Hey man, I'm gonna ask her to come over and hang out, but it's nothing. It really doesn't mean anything." And I was like, no. "You wouldn't be asking me and acting so shady about it if it didn't mean anything."
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I mean, people are gonna get offended either way. Just you know, I mean, you know, I feel like the female, she's an adult. You know, just talk to her, and that's all you gotta. I think that's the right answer.
Yeah, really you probably do. Right. Now I do want to point out that Flip's a great guy. Allison's a great girl. Okay, wait. Woman, because I don't want to be condescending again. Here we go with the pronouns again. This is just kids confusing.
Right. Don't worry about it. I call people kid all the time. They get very offended. I'm like, "Oh, what's up, kid?" And they're like, "I'm not a kid." And I'm like, it's a colloquialism. Like, really? Yeah. No.
Well, I called a black guy boy once, and he took it the wrong way. Well, that's
black guys call me Stretch. Like, "What's up, Stretch? What's up, Stretch? What's up, Slim?"
There was a member of the White House press corps that Bush decided to nickname Stretch.
Mm.
And then there was another one who was also tall but not quite as tall that he decided to nickname Little Stretch.
Little Stretch.
Yeah. So that's President Bush. But, okay, so, and like I said, Flip is a great guy. Allison's a great girl. Neither of them did anything wrong. Most of this is probably based on my own insecurities mm-hmm, and my lack of skill at navigating social situations.
Right.
And it is entirely possible, and I would say likely, that I misinterpreted something. You know, because they said, well, we might, but we were wanting to go up to Yosemite tomorrow to do some sightseeing. So he might have been thinking, "Oh, well, I had these plans, and he's trying to ruin them," or you know, now I'm turning this guy down. I would like to do the podcast, but I already have a thing. So there's a lot of possibilities for why Flip reacted in the way that I perceived, and he might not have reacted in the way I perceived. It might just be my misperception.
That's true.
But okay, so I do think though that there are times in social situations where it can be appropriate to be sexist to a small degree, and when that's involving someone of the opposite sex who's in a relationship with someone else,
right? Or like if there's a male and a female and you want one of them to make you a sandwich, you're obviously going to choose the female.
Well, of course.
In that scenario, it's appropriate to be sexist.
Well, look, I just made a sandwich and it tasted like crap because I was too lazy to put the mayonnaise on there.
Exactly.
A woman would have made the sandwich right.
Mm-hmm.
We don't ask women to make our food because it's women's work. We ask women to make our food because they're better at it than we are.
No, I think it's just because it's women's work.
Well, that's how it became women's work. It didn't become women's work because men are better at making sandwiches than women are.
Yeah.
It became women's work because men suck at doing this shit, and we're lazy. You know, we're lazy, so we're not going to take the extra time. I've got the mayo in the fridge.
Let's eat
I could
some
have
mayo
just
right
gotten
now.
It out, and it's in a squeeze bottle. I wouldn't have even had to get a knife dirty.
Damn.
Okay, all I had to do was just shake it up, and I would have had mayo I know that didn't sound like I would have had mayo. That would have sounded like I'd had something else on my sandwich.
Yeah.
But I would have had mayo on my sandwich, and the sandwich would have tasted much better. But I was too lazy to pick up the bottle, turn it upside down, and squeeze.
JT.
And that is why we want women to make our sandwiches for us.
Next time you need it, I will squeeze your mayo.
Thank you so much.
I will do that for you.
And that is why I wanted you to be on my podcast, because I knew you're the kind of guy who would do something like that for
me. They would squeeze mayo.
You're the kind of guy who would squeeze mayo for me.
The mayo squeezer.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, hey, I am JT Foreman here with Jeff McCobb. We are going to take a break real quick. We are the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman here with Jeff McCobb. We are the Bitter Comics, and we're back. All right, so Jeff.
Yes, sir.
How's it going?
It's going.
Anything overly exciting happening lately, or...?
Nothing over exciting.
Well, you're in a rock band. We got into that briefly. What kind of music do you do?
It's punk ska. It's like third wave ska. So we've got a full horn line, the trumpet and the trombone and a saxophone, and then we got bass drums and guitar. So it's
you got what, 7 instruments?
Yes, sir.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, most rock bands are like guitar, bass guitar, drums, singer.
Yeah.
And sometimes the lead singer doubles as one of the instruments,
right.
And so they get away with 3 people.
We're like a regular old reggae rock band with horns, pretty much. It's ska. Oh, cool. I like being in a band with horns because our horns are all music majors at the university.
Okay,
so they're just super talented. And
Fresno State?
Just bust stuff out whenever, and it's pretty cool, you know.
Cool. All right, so... I'm afraid I haven't heard any of your music, but
you dick.
I'm sorry. I've never been big into music. I enjoy it, but I don't keep track of it.
Yeah.
So if I listen to a song, I'll like it or not, but I couldn't tell you who the artists are.
Mm-hmm.
The very few that I know the names of are just,
Nickelback and Katy Perry.
Well, I know Katy Perry because of Firework. Assuming it was I Kissed a Girl, but it was because of Firework.
No, it was Firework.
I love the Firework song. No, it's because I know of Katy Perry because of I Kissed a Girl. That's why everyone knows who she is.
No, you know of Katy Perry because of her breastises.
Breastises, yes. Well, that's once again, that's why everyone knows Katy Perry.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Most of the stuff, like movies, are the same. I really enjoy watching movies,
mm-hmm.
but I don't really pay attention to who the names of most of the stars and everything are.
That's the thing that I kind of nerd out on is movies. I'm a big film buff. It was my major, actually.
Yeah, I couldn't name hardly any directors. It just, you know, I find when I'm watching a movie, I'm not watching the movie the same way most people are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like examining decisions that are made, and I start thinking about why they did something a certain way.
Yeah.
I took some film classes when I was at... I was going to transfer to CSU Northridge as a film major, but
mm-hmm.
I just didn't think it was a good idea to go into that much debt. So that's why I ended up not doing it.
I just finished my degree in video production. I've been doing local commercials.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
I do the comedy thing and I do the music thing, but those are like hobbies. My jam, my passion is video.
Cool.
What I like.
Anything you like? Have you put something on YouTube lately or any specific commercials you've done recently?
There's some. If you've been watching the Olympics, you probably... I have a Chevy commercial up that just consists of me standing there and talking about Chevy and moving stuff around with my hands.
Oh, cool.
Special effects and weird shit.
I'll put a link. Is that up on YouTube somewhere?
We'll write that down.
I'll be sure to put a link to that in the show notes so everyone can check that out. All right, cool. Have you ever thought about... You haven't been doing comedy that long.
No, sir.
But have you recorded any of your comedy routines and posted those, or?
I have not. No, I haven't. I'm actually, to be honest, I'm more of a closeted comedian.
Okay.
Most of my friends don't know about it. The ones that do, like, show up by chance, and they're like, oh, you're doing comedy? And, like I said...
They saw your name on the flyer, and they thought, he's got a rock thing to
write? Right, exactly.
I'm in his band. How come he didn't tell me? One of the guys is going to show up with a horn and want to start and jump in, and you're just there telling your jokes.
I haven't really come out of the closet yet. It's still pretty shameful. I don't like the idea of getting up on a stage and going, I think I'm funny. Like, I'm embarrassed to tell people that, you know?
Well, yeah, I certainly understand where that would come from. You know, I can see how people might think it's a bit arrogant. yeah. to say that, you know what, I'm standing here with a microphone in my hand mm-hmm. and nothing else, and I think everyone should listen to me.
Right.
Because what I have to say mm-hmm. is so important. And, you know, it's not like an actor because they're performing someone else's words. We actually wrote the stuff ourselves.
Right.
For the most part. There's a few exceptions out there, but most of us. So not only are you listening to me, you're really listening to what I have to say.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I certainly see how that can be viewed as a little arrogant.
I think so. took me. I always wanted to do comedy. I love talking. It's my favorite hobby. So okay. to, you know, talk to a group of people, I thought would be really cool. I like public speaking yeah. in college and everything.
Yeah.
I just had to grow the huevos to finally stand up and do it. And yeah, it's a fun time. But like I said, I'm ashamed.
Well, is there a specific thing that happened that made? Something you saw that made you want to start doing stand-up comedy, or what was the trigger that made you decide, all right, I'm going to give this a shot?
Well, I mean, first, I like writing, you know, yeah. and when I was a kid, I just watched a shit ton of comedy, you know,
okay.
Friday night stand-up, you know, all the time, and yeah. I guess only on Fridays, but but yeah, it was, yeah, I just really liked it a lot. Even when I was a little kid, I remember thinking, I want to do that. I want to go to there.
I want to go to there. I want to have that.
Yeah, and that's cool. So, yeah.
All right, so the band that you're in, what's the name of the...
You're never going to remember it. It's Iwanaga.
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 Iwanaga, all right.
It's a Japanese last name. It's a very common last name in Japan. And so I like to think of it like the Smiths, but Japanese.
So you're the Japanese Smiths.
Right. Japan actually has a surprisingly big ska scene. A lot of people there, and just okay. punk ska, which is interesting. It's weird, but, you know.
Yeah. Okay. All right, cool. So, you guys, how much of your music... I realize I'm asking the generic questions you probably get from everybody.
That's
but,
fine.
How much of the music have you guys written yourself? Do you personally write a lot of the songs?
I started with the band about a year ago, and since then, the new tracks that we've written, I've had a little bit of say-so, but as far as drummers go, we're fairly irrelevant.
How would you... Do you write the lyrics for any of your songs?
No. I mean, I've helped here and there. Okay. It's, you know, it's generally our lead singer writes most of the lyrics.
Okay, now, here's the weird question, I guess. How would you compare songwriting to comedy writing? For writing stand-up comedy?
You know, stand-up comedy is such a weird thing. Like... I'll have days where I try and sit there and think of jokes and just nothing will come to mind. You know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then you have those days where you feel dizzy and off for some reason. You just start shitting gold and
yeah,
and
yeah.
just joke after joke. And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You just get
yeah.
these.
It's when you're, for whatever reason, when you're looking at things the wrong way, when the funniest stuff seems to come out.
Right.
You know, like, you know, I've talked about this many times with the bit I had where I saw a sign that said end road work. And that's mm-hmm. the weirdest protest I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
I was really tired. I hadn't gotten much sleep the night before, and I'm working. I was fixing copiers at the time, so I'm driving out to this little town a mile east of Seattle mm-hmm. when I was living up there. And I saw a sign that said, end road work, and there was a guy there holding it. And, you know, he had the orange hard hat on and the
right.
vest and everything. So, obviously, he's just setting up the sign. But I saw a guy standing there holding a sign that said, end road work. And the first thought that popped into my head was, that's a really weird protest.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, and I was dead tired and
yeah.
exhausted. And my mind wasn't really
right.
working right. And
right.
that's why I came up with something funny.
And it's not as simple as, like, you know, being drunk and then you all of a sudden you're funny. It's like that, maybe that next day kind of
yeah.
weird drunk
yeah.
hangover or dizziness kind of,
yeah. yeah.
and you're just loopy. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? It's that
yeah.
loopy feeling. And all of a sudden just everything that comes to your mind is a joke. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
and then you write it down or whatever. Maybe look at it later and realize it's all shit. But
yeah. 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 So have you started carrying a notebook around with you or anything?
Because
it's just random times when I think of something funny.
Right. No, same here. I say it into the voice memos on my iPhone. I just take out my iPhone and I just yell into my phone.
Okay.
Oh, this, that, and then, then you know, babies and blah. Yeah.
yeah. The voice recognition on my Android isn't so great, but I have this notebook app that I use, and I just, if I think of something, I'll just type it into that real quick. And that's,
yeah.
And then I'll try to go back to it later and see if I can make a complete joke out of it.
What's interesting is I wanted to do stand-up ever since I was a kid, and I would do the same thing. I would think of a joke, and then I would write it down in a Word document on my computer.
Yeah.
And I've transferred it from machine to machine. I was young when I started this, and right now it's like a 3-page Word document of just jokes that I wrote down for potentially one day when I wanted to start doing stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
I'm going to use these jokes. And then when I finally did start doing stand-up comedy and I went to an open mic, every joke that I told, and it still is this way, are jokes that came from like the week prior. So I just have years of these things and material that, oh, I want to talk about this one day, and I didn't end up using any of it. I don't know if it's because it's so old that I've killed it in my mind, but I don't know. It's interesting.
Well, yeah, I've got drawers and notebooks. I've been doing this a little over 10 years.
Damn, dude.
I did it for about 3 years, and then I stopped for about 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started again about 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
But so I did it a long time ago, and now I'm doing it again, but not for really that long. But I still have all my old notebooks. And I know you haven't been doing comedy very long now, but are there any jokes that you've done when you first started or that are in those notebooks that you now realize how unfunny they are? Because I know that there's a lot of the stuff from when I first started doing that I can't believe I thought was funny once.
Right. Well, I mean, are you saying like jokes that don't get a laugh or jokes that you've just killed in your head?
Well, jokes that you now realize really aren't as funny as you thought they were when you thought of them. Like, you know, the example that I use is, you know, James Bond, and I used to have this bit about he has a brother that gets arrested all the time called Bail Bond. And yeah, that's horrible, the jokes. I actually thought it was funny once. Do you have any jokes like that?
I tried a joke a couple times that I just stopped seeing the humor in, and it never really went over. It's something along the lines of Cruella DeVille being the most terrifying villain in the history of villains, because she skins your household pets and wears them as a coat, and that's fucking terrifying.
She's terrifying.
She's like the Buffalo Bill of Disney.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, there are a lot of jokes that I swear it's hilarious, and then nobody laughs when I do them. I still am not sure what it is. Like this bit about racism where I got cut off in traffic and I did not assume that it was an Asian person.
Yeah.
Now, I looked afterwards and I saw that it was an Asian person, but I didn't assume it was an Asian person. See, with racism, it's the lack of thought that counts. And I thought that was a really great line, but I've only once gotten a laugh from it. I've done it, you know, five or six times, and I've only gotten a laugh from it one time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe I'm not telling it right, or maybe I need to find a new way to word it, but the line seemed great to me, and I still don't understand why I'm not getting a laugh.
maybe it'll work itself out.
Yeah,
it's one of those jokes you just keep trying. It's like Jen Felix we were talking about earlier. There's my favorite joke of hers never gets a laugh, and she's always telling me she's going to drop it. And I'm like, no, do not drop that. That is my favorite joke.
Which one's
it's
that?
It's one where she's talking about when things are broken, you hit them. She goes, you know, the TV remote. Oh, yeah. TV remote isn't working. You smack it.
Yeah.
Make it work. You know, your TV isn't working, you know, so you hit it and make it work. Your wife's being a bitch, you hit her. And that's the joke, that quick tag at the end. You know, your wife's being a bitch, you hit her in the face. And I love that. If it's so nonchalant like that, I think it's hilarious. And she keeps telling me she's going to drop it. And I'm like, no, it's my favorite.
That is a funny joke.
I like it.
She should not drop that joke. She should definitely keep it. Well, see, here's the thing is that it's a girl saying the joke, though. So I mean,
that's why I think it's so
like
funny.
if it was like you or me, you know, my girlfriend doesn't work, I just smack her around.
That
you
might know, even be better because it has that shock factor too.
Yeah, you know, that's true. I don't know. Maybe she needs a. Oh, your boyfriend won't get a job. You just kick him in the nuts or something.
I do. You and I have a similar kind of intro. I feel like my jokes started working a lot better when I just started off my set by shitting on myself. Just kind of like you introduce yourself to the crowd, like, oh, by the way, I'm awkward, and this is me, and I fucking suck.
Yeah, I still have a lot of people used to tell me I look like a serial killer, and they're all gone now.
Right.
Yeah, I started doing that because Rick Kunkler, he was the host of the open mics most of the time at Giggles up in Seattle. And he always introduced me as, this guy looks like a serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, great, thanks, that's a terrific intro. I've only had one intro that was worse than that. It was when Joe Simon introduced me as, this guy works for a company with no likes on Facebook, he works for the IRS. Yeah, that's what I want, that's what I want you to introduce me as in the middle of April. You know, it's not just I work in the IRS, we're right at tax time, and you're going to introduce me as this guy works at the IRS.
I like it that you have a comedian name, though, the serial killer of comedy. That's cool. It's like it's kind of, it's like Danny Minch, the blue comedian.
The blue
you know?
Well, he has all the blue jokes.
Yeah, I did a joke for a while. I don't really do it much anymore, but about how I was, I am an abortion.
You are an abortion?
I am an abortion.
An abortion survivor?
Yeah, I woke up in that back alley dumpster and I said, you know what? This isn't how I go. So I pulled that wire hanger out of my abdomen and I crawled out and I became this big piece of shit you see today. And so I would do just like, and it wasn't so much a joke as it was, I'd just be very sincere and be like, this is really hard for me
I'm
to
not
talk
going
about.
Out like this.
It's hard for me to talk about, but when I was a baby, I was aborted, you know? And it's, you know, it's not a great joke, but I liked doing it. And now I really like it because afterward, Ricardo Duran introduced me as the living abortion.
The living abortion.
And I liked
well,
that
you know
a
what?
Lot.
That is
like
good.
That. Please welcome the living abortion.
That is, yeah. You know, I think you've got your hook.
Yeah,
You found your, I might be a redneck.
Yeah.
And on that note, we're going to take a break real quick. I am JT Foreman here with Jeff McCobb. We are the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman. We are the Bitter Comics, and we're back. All right, so I'm here with Jeff McCobb, comedian and musician extraordinaire. And all right, let's get into some of our other segments here. First off, we've got another edition of the 559 Text of the Week. Now, as you all know, there's a website called textfromlastnight.com, and this is where people go to submit their alcohol and or drug induced text messages. And every week I go to there and I type in the 559 for the 559 area code. That's where I live. To look up text messages from my area code because I want to support my town. And we've got a new one here from the 559 area code. So the 559 text of the week is, Greg's sitting in the living room in his underwear, hitting the bong, watching a Rob Schneider movie. His lack of fuck giving is inspirational. Lack of fuck giving. You could say he doesn't give a fuck, but just his lack of fuck giving.
So
lack of fuck giving.
Obviously,
this is a college kid.
Right.
This is someone in college.
I feel like I would like that person. Not necessarily the person with the bong and the Rob Schneider, but the person who sent that text message.
Saying the lack of fuck giving.
Yeah, I like that.
But that does not
sound drug or alcohol induced.
Well, there's drug mentioned.
There's
in here,
drug though. Mentioned, correct. I feel like the only way to watch a Rob Schneider movie is to smoke weed. I mean,
while hitting a bong in your underwear.
Right. Well, I mean,
in your underwear.
Every time
you'd
I
have
hit
to
a
be
bong,
in your
I'm
underwear.
In my underwear.
Yeah, that's
right.
True. Well, you know, I've never been a pot smoker myself. Do you smoke pot?
I do regularly partake in the consumption of the cannabinoids. Yeah.
Do you enjoy that?
I do enjoy. I like it a lot. I'm a very hyper person. I have lots of energy. You know,
yeah. So
I can talk for days, and it just brings me down to a nice little. You know,
cool.
Yeah, it's God's gift to mankind.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I've smoked pot on a couple of occasions, and honestly, I just wasn't really impressed. The thing I remember the most, two things really. One is that I was really hungry.
Mm-hmm.
I ate four giant grilled cheese sandwiches, and I was still starving, even though my stomach hurt like mad.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd stuffed myself. I was still hungry, but I'd stuffed myself to the point that I was in pain. And then I drove home, and I was, like I said, I was living in Seattle at the time, and I was followed by every single law enforcement agent in the entire Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
Now,
of course you were.
I couldn't see any of them, but yeah. I know they were there, goddammit.
Yeah, definitely.
I know they were there.
I've been there. It's the first couple times that you smoke, you get that paranoia and that kind of. I mean, one time me and my girlfriend were, you know, on the beach and we were smoking a joint. It was like in the middle of the night. And within a few minutes, all of a sudden we realized that there was gangs of bums all coming towards us at the same time. and we were sure that they were going to rob us, and so we ran away back to the car.
They probably just wanted to hit.
No, I don't even think they were walking in our direction.
Yeah, they probably weren't even there.
They were just sleeping on the beach, and we were so paranoid. And then we heard sirens in a distance and pulled over at a liquor store, and we're like, okay, calm down. So, just wait till they pass.
Let's get some booze. We need something to counteract the pot.
They're looking for us. No. Can you just imagine cops getting on the horn and be like, we got two kids smoking a joint on the beach. We need law enforcement officers out here now. I need backup. We got two kids in a joint.
I hope they've got better things to deal
with. They do. That's why you can't get arrested for weed anymore. It's either a $100 fine or they throw it in the gutter or both.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. I think everything should be legal. I think that if you want to go inject yourself with morphine, you should be able to go to the store and buy it.
Well,
now, I realize how dangerous all of this stuff is, but if we're going to call this a free society, then you have to let people make their own decisions. And the problem with letting people make their own decisions is that sometimes they make the wrong ones.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? If women get to make their own decision about whether or not to have sex with me, and they continue making the wrong decision, and I have to just let that go, then I think that people should be able to make their own decisions about whether or not to do drugs.
That's true. And I think, I do not do drugs. I am not. I feel like I'm worried that if I were to try any hard drug of any kind, I would probably like it. And I
couldn't afford it.
Right.
You know, well, I wasn't impressed with pot, and everything else is out of my price range.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's just I've had friends that have died.
I'm still trying to kick the Starbucks addiction.
Right, me too. Right.
Double chocolatey chip.
Yeah, I drink coffee until I'm shaking.
I need a venti.
Well, it's like alcohol. That just blows my mind. I do drink, but if it wasn't legal, I definitely wouldn't. It's a chemical and it can kill you. You know what I'm saying? And it's legal and so widely accepted. You're allowed to drink before you drive, given you can only have two or three drinks, but you are legally allowed to drink before you drive. I mean, there is no law that says you can only smoke one joint before you drive. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It just, that blows my mind. I mean, alcohol is, you know, probably just as dangerous as any other hard drug, really.
Well, scientific studies that have been done show that alcohol is more dangerous than marijuana. It is less dangerous.
Everything is more dangerous than marijuana.
Well, it's less alcohol is less dangerous than things like crack,
uh-huh.
methamphetamines, cocaine, you know, acid, that kind of stuff, bath salts. but they are alcohol is more dangerous than marijuana, and you know the studies are based on what is the expected amount of usage for a casual user, for a hardcore user, etc. Mm-hmm. And you know they test all of these things. And one thing that saves marijuana is that you can only use it so fast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like smoking a cigarette; it takes you time to get through a pack.
Yeah.
Because you got to smoke it. Alcohol, you just start drinking. Drink. You know, you can down a gallon of a liquid pretty quickly if you really want to. And so, but it's have you ever in your entire life ever heard of anyone ODing on pot?
No, it's impossible.
I've never even heard of it because you would pass out before you got to that point.
There was some sort of study done that I heard something. It would be like you'd have to smoke a ton of weed, like a literal 2,000 pounds of weed. But at that point, you're just suffocating. You're not really dying of an overdose.
That's true.
Which actually, there was that study.
Either that or you're burning up.
Right. There was that study that was done where they determined that marijuana kills brain cells. And in that study, what they did is they tested it on monkeys. And they studied the monkeys and found that their brain cells were dying. But how they did the test was that they put gas masks on the monkeys and filled it full of marijuana smoke. So in reality, they were just suffocating the monkeys, and then they would die because they weren't getting any oxygen. It was all weed smoke coming through a gas mask. So it's not. I just imagine these cute little apes smoking a joint, but no, they were gassing them to death and then saying it was the result.
You know,
of the marijuana.
I would pay to see a bunch of monkeys smoking pot.
Right?
That would be awesome. Seeing them with a joint. If everyone was so impressed when the dude taught that chimpanzee how to do sign language.
Uh-huh.
You teach a chimpanzee how to take a hit off of a bong?
Yeah.
I would pay to see that. That would be awesome.
I think you're more likely to see monkeys smoking a blunt. That was a racist joke, by the way.
Okay.
That was black. I call black people monkeys.
That's
black people like blunts.
I'll make sure to apologize to blunts next week.
All right. As opposed to black people. All right, I get how this apology thing works now.
There you go. That's exactly how the apology thing works. All right, it's moving on. Let's. I found a list for this week. I got this list off of Audi.com, and I'll put a link to this in the show notes. Mm-hmm. These are 10 incredible internet world records.
Okay.
So we've got some world records from the internet. First on the list, the highest number of Twitter followers. Who do you think has the most Twitter followers?
The most Twitter followers?
Yes.
I'm going to go with...
President Obama is 6.
President Obama is 6.
Yes, 6 with 17,381,203.
I'm going to go ahead and say Kanye or Kim Kardashian.
Nope. Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga, okay.
But you were in the right ballpark though. You're going for the famous musical artist.
Right, right.
So you were in, you know, pop artist. So you're in the right area though. Yeah, number one with 26,823,122 followers as of July 2012. Number two is Justin Bieber, 24,600,000. Katy Perry, Rihanna, and Britney Spears. Number six, President Obama. He's the only you know, other than Justin Bieber, he's the only male in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
So, there we go.
And probably the only U.S. president in the top 10.
Oh, well, of course. Twitter hasn't been around that long. I mean, Twitter was around when Bush was president, but it wasn't what it is now.
Yeah.
Until we were well into his pregnancy. What is the most watched video on YouTube?
The most watched video on YouTube... Is it like a viral video?
Oh no, it's a music video.
Is it Biebs?
Yep, it's the Biebs.
Yeah. Baby.
Here, speaking of what was the name of it here?
Is that song Baby?
Top of the yes, here it is. His hit Baby. 464,588,601 views. He's got approaching half of a billion views of that music video on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow.
I have to admit that I'm responsible for a couple.
Well, you know, I felt obliged to look at it. Mm-hmm. I think it was number 15 on the list is this guy who is like the history of dance.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, that was a really good video. I've watched that 2 or 3 times. So that was a cool video.
What a legacy, because that guy is not going to accomplish anything else, but he will be the 15th most viewed video on YouTube.
I hope he's getting something out
good
of that.
Good for him.
Too.
He is, dude. I think I heard that he like tours, does like motivational speaking, and then does the history of dance or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Number 3, the oldest site on the internet is symbolics.com. It was registered. It was the first domain name ever registered. It was on March 15, 1985.
Symbolics? What was it for?
It's the Symbolics Computer Corporation.
Mm.
Today, there are over 192 million domains registered and more than 2.1 billion users worldwide.
That's too many users.
Yeah. It's Symbolics.com was bought in 2009 and now hosts a bunch of useless but interesting internet facts.
Awesome.
Including some of the ones mentioned here. Number 4, the longest domain name. I'm not even going to try to pronounce this nonsense. It's Landfairpool something or other. And no, I'm not going to put a link in the show notes. I'll put a link in the show notes to this page on Audi.com so you can come and look at it. But technically, a domain name can have up to 63 characters, not including the subdomains or suffixes.
Hmm.
So just... 63 characters is the longest any domain name can be, but if you put in, the dashes aren't counted.
Oh, okay.
Or, I think.
I'm going to make a domain name that's just all hyphens.
Yeah, there you go. All hyphens. Number 5, the highest webcam on Earth is on Mount Everest. You can't get away from Big Brother anywhere.
Even on Everest, someone's got eyes on you.
That's right. The webcam is at an altitude of 5,643 meters atop a peak overlooking Mount Everest, the highest spot on Earth. And rumor has it that if you tune in during off hours, you can see some hot Yeti on Yeti action.
Sweet.
Sweet.
That's pretty hot.
The biggest hog of internet data of all time was the royal wedding between Prince William and Kate Middleton.
The biggest hog of internet data?
Yes.
Was it like a live stream? Is that why?
Yeah. An estimated 2.5 billion people watched the wedding in some way, shape, or form. 1.6 million people streamed it live via the internet. Yahoo alone received 40,000 requests per second for video data. People also clicked on news stories at a rate of 5 million page views per minute at its peak, surpassing Michael Jackson's funeral.
Damn.
Yeah, so there you go. And number 7, what country has the fastest internet? Now, this I thought was interesting. What country do you think has the fastest internet?
I feel like, you know, it's not going to be what I presume, which would... Well, I'd probably presume China.
No.
Or...
No.
Well,
most people would probably... Oh, the United States. No, not the United States. I mean, think about logistically of our country, how spread out we are with our population. So, I mean, you know, internet service will be faster in places like L.A. and New York. But if you live in Crocker, Missouri, like my grandparents did, you're going to have slower internet there. So, on average, we actually are pretty low down the list. So, think densely populated countries. Did I just give it to you?
No.
Japan? No. South Korea.
South Korea.
That's right. South Korea.
That was my first guess. I just
oh, really?
No.
Well, their country is really... By 2006, 96% of South Korean cell phone users had internet access, and today's users connected a blazing fast 17.5 bits per second.
Blazing fast?
Blazing
fast. Pretty dramatic.
That is pretty dramatic. My internet is messing with me now.
See, we don't have the fastest internet here. Yep. Let's move to South Korea and then do the podcast.
Yeah, if we were in South Korea, this would not be happening right now. Number 8 on the list, what is the most expensive domain name ever?
Most expensive domain name? Let's hear it.
It's the insure.com.
Hmm.
That's right. Sex.com sold for $14 million in October 2010.
Sex.com?
Yeah. Insure.com. Sold for $16 million.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, these are followed closely by fund.com and porn.com. And
right.
Then the Farm Bureau sold FB.com to Facebook for $8.5 million.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you can actually, if you pick the right thing to internet squat on, you can make a lot of money out of it.
Facebook's just going to buy out every major domain, so everywhere you try and go leads you to Facebook.
Pretty much.
Well, that's how life is right now. It's kind of scary. Have you ever, like, signed into YouTube and all of a sudden you're signed in everywhere?
Yes.
It's, like, all connected. It's like, oh, you're on Facebook now and Google and this and that. Yeah. And, like, you have an account all these places you never signed up
for. Yeah, it's weird when your cell phone rings, you pick it up and it says, you just connected to Facebook on your computer. Wait a second. Why are you telling me that?
Right. It's terrifying.
What had the most Facebook likes in a 24-hour period?
A 24-hour period, what had the most Facebook likes? Let's hear it.
Technically, Lil Wayne.
Okay.
But officially, Oreo.
Oreo.
Okay, now here's what happened. Oreo announced a publicity campaign to win the Guinness record for the most number of likes in a 24-hour period. They put a post up, told everyone to... And in the 24-hour period, they got 114,000 likes. A few days later, Lil Wayne decided to rain on Oreo's parade and got his posse together and said, I want to have the record, and destroyed the record with 588,243 likes in a 24-hour period. But he did not register at Guinness.com that he was going to be attempting a world record.
Ooh.
So Guinness didn't accept it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look in the Guinness Book of World Records, Oreo still holds the record. So you
I'm
know
proud of them.
They're the official record keepers of world records that nobody really cares about. So I guess if you want a world record, you're going to have to let them know you're going for it because they have to send their judges out to.
Right.
And finally, the inventor of Spam. Now I'm not talking about the food-like substance. I'm talking about the crazy emailings that everyone gets all the
There's
time.
There's an inventor. You can root that to one person.
That's
it's
right.
It's like, I'm going to start bombarding people with emails they don't want.
That's right. On May 3rd, 1978, a marketer at Digital Equipment Corporation named Gary Theuk, T-H-U-E-R-K. It would be illegal for me to say that I want you all to go kill him, so I'm not going to say that. Don't kill him. But he's a horrible human being.
You're going to have to apologize to him tomorrow.
I will. He's a horrible human being. I'll apologize to
no,
him.
No, apologize to human beings for relating him to them.
That's true. That's right. he thought of a brilliant way to get the word out about their new computer system, and he sent a mass email to 400 accounts on ARPANET. and voila, spam was born.
Wow. What a dick.
Exactly. What a dick. Okay, so that's 10 crazy internet records. I will be put, like I said, I got that from Audi.com, and I will post a link to that in the show notes. We're going to take a break real quick. I'm JT Foreman here with Jeff McCobb. We are the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman here with Jeff McCobb. We are the Bitter Comics, and we're back. All right, let's get into a couple news stories before we go. In Australia, police are called to the Humpty Doo Tavern to respond to a disturbance. The tavern is in Darwin, in the city of Darwin, in Australia.
Okay.
They arrive and all is quiet, but then they check the nearby Humpty Doo Hotel, where they met a group of women celebrating a hen's night. This is the Australian version of a bachelorette party.
Okay.
It's a hen's night.
A hen's night.
The women mistook the officers for strippers.
Wow.
Couple of cops showed up yes. at the bachelorette party. The women assumed they were strippers.
So happy that happened.
Yes, that's right. Northern Watch Commander Louise Jorgensen says the police were given a warm welcome by the group of women, some of whom had traveled from Arlene Beach in Queensland for the party. The girls were in fine form, she said. They were most excited about the police presence. There were various shouts about how the strippers had arrived. They nearly had their shirts torn off, but they managed to escape with their dignity intact. So,
and with one sticking out of their underwear.
That's right. Bride-to-be Wendy Haddon says the visit from the police added to the color of the wedding. They're Aborigine cops? I'm being racist again, aren't I? I'll apologize to Aborigines.
Yes, you will.
We thought they were strippers. We thought they were going to be strippers, actually, she said. But no, they weren't. Bugger.
Bugger.
I think that means darn in Australian. We sort of had a few photos taken, had a bit of play on the car, and yes, they went along with it well. Yep, I think it's going to be very hard to top that, even for the wedding. No police action is being taken after the incident. I guess the cops decided they got enough action at the incident.
Uh-oh.
They didn't need to take any further police action.
They must have been fairly attractive cops for everyone to have assumed that they were strippers. I mean, I can't imagine like a fat cop with a beard and a box of donuts walking in. Everyone starts tearing his shirt off. You know?
Well, I'm looking at the picture here.
Is there a picture of the cops?
Yeah.
Let me get a look at this one of the cops.
And he's like this old dude. I mean, he's got this big grin on his face.
Yeah, I would have never assumed that guy was a stripper once.
And, yeah, have you ever?
Have I
doing comedy? You will eventually end up at a comedy show where there's a bachelorette party in the audience,
cute.
And they're always loud,
mm-hmm.
and they're always obnoxious. And I've found that the easiest way to get them to just listen to the show is to just say that you're the stripper,
yeah,
and go ahead and take your clothes off.
Bam!
That is the best way to. Maybe that's not the best way.
That is literally the best way.
Yeah, it's definitely a surefire. Okay, so yeah,
the cops got called
to bust up the bachelorette party, and instead ended up being the entertainment.
Very cute. There you go.
Yeah.
And they left without busting up the bachelorette party?
No, they did not bust up the bachelorette party.
Damn, they were so flattered.
I guess they calmed everyone down. They did their striptease, and then the ladies were appeased.
There you go.
And so then they all went home. Yay!
I
love the headline of this story: Hens peck at police in Humpty Doo dignity test. I'm not even sure what half of those words mean.
Yeah, right.
I want to learn Australian.
It's like a Dr. Seuss book. They're just saying things. It's just gibberish. I went to a friend's going away party recently, and his friends ordered him strippers. And it was kind of inappropriate because he had a serious girlfriend, and he was really drunk. And so the strippers come in super forceful. They're like, whose party is this? And they like come up to him. They shove him down on the couch, and they're butt ass naked, I swear. And she starts like, she like straddles him and starts shaking her ass like right in his face. And he's uncomfortable, is super drunk, worried about his girlfriend seeing, stressed out, swear to God, bites her vagina. He bit her vagina as she was shaking it. In his face. And immediately this stripper pops up and is like, he just bit my fucking vagina. And she storms outside screaming. She's like, I'm done with this shit. Fuck this shit. He's biting my vagina. And it was pretty hilarious.
You know, if you're going to shove it in my face, I'm going to have a taste.
Yeah.
You know,
his solution, he's like, I don't want that, I'm gonna bite it. Like, it doesn't work. Like, oh, like if a girl's getting raped, I guess that makes sense. She doesn't want the dick, you might as well just bite it off, right?
Exactly.
Pretend like you're into it and go to suck and then bite.
No, you want to give it to me? Well, I think I'll keep it.
That's cute.
Okay, moving on. Let's see, what do we want to do here?
Everything.
Oh, the Syrian ambassador to Iraq defected. And then the next day, Syria is going through this civil war right now.
Right.
And the Syrian ambassador to Iraq defected to the opposition, and he urged the other senior Syrian politicians to do the same. And the very next day, they fired him. Have you ever quit a job and then your boss is so pissed off he says, "You can't quit because you're fired"? I think we've got this. That's just another version of that going on here.
That's actually never happened to me, no.
No, you've never been fired from a job?
No, no, I haven't. First of all, I think I'm too awesome to be fired from jobs.
That's possible. You are pretty awesome.
Also, I've worked at the same job for like 5 years.
Oh, yeah?
All through college, I worked at the same Italian restaurant. I do a little joke about it. It epitomizes all
You work at Mother Mary's?
That's correct. Oh, cool. But I've never spit in anyone's food, and I probably just lied to you about that. So that's the joke. I've been working at the same place forever, and now that I'm done with school, I feel like, damn, now I got to get a big boy job and get out of this stupid restaurant. But,
yeah, you know. Yeah. But I should probably get a big boy job eventually, too. You know, seeing as how I'm 40. I think it's time. You know, this is the first time in my life I've owned more stuff than would fit in my car.
Right.
Yeah, I have a couch and a bed now. You know,
damn, I'm proud of you, weird, dude.
Yes. Almost like a grown-up. Almost. Not quite, but almost.
You'll get there.
I'll get there. How vain can a person get? That's the question we're answering here with this next news story.
Mm-hmm.
Toe liposuction. That's right.
Like they think their toes are too fat and they're getting liposuction.
So if you're getting too tobese.
Yeah.
If you have a tobesity problem. A tobesity problem. You can get toe liposuction. This.
I didn't even know toes had lipos.
It costs an average of $2,500. There's also toe shortening procedures, which helps women fit their feet better into some of the pointy high-heeled shoes.
Cute.
Toe liposuction. That's pretty vain.
It's pretty vain.
Because, you know, it's like my girlfriend gives me a hard time about my shoes all the time. I always wear these steel-toed boots.
Mm-hmm.
And I like wearing steel-toed boots. They make me feel comfortable. Because I've had heavy stuff dropped on my feet before.
You seem like someone that wears steel-toed boots. Take that as you will.
Well, I am someone who wears steel-toed boots.
There you go.
So, she does not like that at all. But... you know, the shoe fetish thing, I guess. But you know, that is pretty crazy vain. It's like, oh, my toes. I'm getting my toes are too fat. What about your ass?
Right.
You know, worry about your ass first.
I feel like if your toes are too fat, then everything else must be too fat too. That just kind of comes along with it, you know.
Yeah, but if you're once you've gotten your toe liposuction done. Head out to Buffalo, New York. Now, I'm afraid pre-registration has closed. But you can register on the day of the 5th annual 0.5K stiletto run to benefit ovarian cancer. It's on June 20th. We're too late. Oh, crap.
Well, shit.
Well, you know what? The 6th annual one will be next year. I should have researched this a little better. Okay, so June 20th, 2012, they had the 5th annual 0.5K stiletto run to benefit Ovarian Cancer National Alliance. I don't know why the cancers decided to get together and form a national alliance. Maybe they feel that if the cancers work together... That was ridiculous. It seemed funny when I thought of it. You've had jokes like that where it seemed like a good idea, and then you just halfway through you're like, you know what, this isn't funny at all. But so they have stiletto running races. You don't have to wear stilettos to participate in the race, but in order to be eligible for any of the prizes. You have to be registered. You have to complete the race in a shoe with a minimum heel height of 3 inches.
Wow.
Shows may not be taped to the foot. Heel circumference must be a maximum of 1.25 inches in diameter. No wedges. Heel height will be checked on anyone who places first, second, or third place runners after a race to qualify for the win. They apparently they have this annual stiletto run.
Well, that sounds like a good old time. I'm irritated by high heels in general. I don't like them. I don't like it when girls wear them. I don't like it when I know a short girl and all of a sudden she's a foot taller and I'm like, yeah, you're fooling everybody. Like, I mean, it irritates me. And the thing that irritates me most about it is that they complain. They take them off.
Their feet hurt.
They complain
so
about their blisters and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, then don't wear the high heels. I guarantee you there is no guy out there that's like, you know what? I would find that girl attractive. I would want to fuck her if she was 3 inches taller. If she was wearing high heels, then I'd be into it. Mm. So they're in pain. They're not happy.
No. my girlfriend is really short.
Does she wear heels?
Well, compared to me, I'm 6'1", and she's like 5'4". So she's much shorter than I am. And sometimes she wears high heels a lot, and sometimes it bothers her, sometimes it doesn't. Because there are times where she will complain that how much shorter that she is than me, and then other times she'll say, "No, I'm really like being next to you because it makes me look so much thinner, being so much smaller than I am."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Are you calling me fat?" And she said, "Yes." Thanks, honey. I love you too. Well, on that note. Yes, that's it for the show.
That's
Jeff,
it.
Thanks for coming on. Do you have any shows coming up you'd like to plug?
Oh, damn. You know what? September 22nd is, I have a show booked at the, okay. Damn it. Hang on 1 second. I swear to God, I'm going to plug this. I got this. August 22nd. August 22nd. It's a Wednesday night. It's at the Blue Hookah Lounge in Tower District. That is a comedy show, and yeah.
Anything else?
Not really.
So that's a comedy show. That's not
right. That is a comedy show at Blue Hookah. We don't have too many band gigs coming up. Keep an eye out for me on the good old telly.
Okay.
I do the Hedrick Chevy ads. And
Hedrick Chevy ads.
Yeah, and so that's me, the tall, awkward white boy acting like a fool on TV.
Jeff McCobb, yeah. All right. I've got. Let's see. On Monday, this episode won't be posted in time, but on Monday, on the 13th, I will be performing at Fulton 55, and then on the 23rd of August, I will be at Mother Mary's.
Okay, cool. Oh, you know what? I'm going to be at the Mother Mary show as well. Awesome. I didn't know that.
Are you going to be performing at Mother Mary's, or are you just going to be bringing people their pizza?
No, I am hosting that
show. Oh, you're hosting the show.
Yeah,
okay, cool.
I am. I've actually never hosted before. It's my first
time. Jen hosted the last show.
Yeah, she did.
Cool. All right, awesome. Hey, I'll see you then.
Awesome.
Thanks a lot for coming to be on the show.
Thanks
really
for having
it.
Me, dude. I had fun.
Yeah, great time. I am JT Foreman, here with Jeff McCobb. We're signing off. Thanks a lot for listening to the show, and I'll talk to you again next week. Peace.
Peace.